Welcome to part two of Joey Donofrio on Spector Spotlight. For those of you that are just joining, this is part two in a series where we broke up our interview with Joey. The first part geared more towards single-man inspector shops and those with a couple inspectors, and the second part more for multi-inspector shops and kind of the problems they face. So hope you enjoy part two of Joey Donofrio.
Yeah, let's get into some of those. So like over the last year, you know, what growing pains have you run into in terms of going from 5 to 10 to 15?
So some of the, I don't know if they're growing pains, but they're pains, and it's the people, it's management of people. You know, the larger you get, the more emotions that are being dealt with. And again, if you're not transparent and people don't know why they're in a situation or why they didn't get promoted or why aren't they making more money and all that stuff, again, I'm going to take the blame and say it comes down to leadership. So you need to, as a leader, you always need to make sure you're growing. And so those are some of the pains that I have. I've had some inspectors leave and try to go out, or not some, but one, try to go out on their own. I've had other competitors report us to DPOR because they didn't know what we do. And so they assume that we're like professional engineers, that we're calling ourselves without having a professional engineer's license, and we're not. I've had, you know, I don't know if I can talk about this, but a lawsuit from a former employee who went out and started on his own, and he thought we were defaming him.
Mm-hmm. We can edit that out too if you want.
No, and that's fine because I'm not giving details. But like, so those things are the growing pains. But again, I think that comes with the territory.
Yeah.
Don't think that you're going to grow and things are going to be easier. I had another inspector, you know, go out and try to, he wants to go start his own business. Well, yeah. He did sign a non-compete, and that's cool. So you can start your own business, because in Virginia, I can't tell you that you can't, right, or whatever,
right?
But you can't take my clients. You can't take all that stuff. And so as long as he doesn't do that, I'm cool. So it's dealing with business and your emotions, and I think, and other people's emotions, and just remembering that it is a business, that there's a team, and that there's, you should have teams in place, whether it's legal counsel. So whenever I make a decision or this happens, I rely on my team. Hey, this is the attorney's job. Mm-hmm. And then I'm done with it until we talk about it. And then, because I don't want to mix personal with business ever. And so balancing that, I think, can be hard for a lot of people. I know some of my brother and my dad, they struggle with it more than I do. So those are the new challenges that we face. Hiring another inspector is easy. Like I said, once you go from, you know, 12, 13 inspectors, it becomes very, very easy. Hold up, my son gave my office. Once you go, that stuff's easy because you've done it before. Mm-hmm. I was in an entrepreneur seminar, and he goes, yeah, when I opened up my first McDonald's, it was tough. When I opened my second one, it was really tough. When I opened my third, it got a little easier. But now I'm going from 8 to 9, and it's like seamless. So the growth stuff's easy. I think it's the people, the managing, figuring out how to promote, how to structure your company, you know, for the best possible growth, how to promote leaders that are gonna do great, because, you know, companies rise and fall off leadership. And I'm not just the sole leader anymore. So we have a general manager, I have an inspector team lead. So making sure that we're all on the same page. So we have leadership meetings now that we didn't have before. We have marketing meetings with the marketing team. So everybody's on the same page of what we're doing. What is our goals? What's on task? So those are things are different than if you're like probably 2 or 3 in, you know, right, as you start hiring marketing people and have a leadership. I think it's very important to make sure everybody's on the same page. You shouldn't be promoting somebody just because they've been around longer than somebody.
It's a good point. It's a great point.
You know, you have to promote the right people for those leadership positions, because they will kill you if you don't. And so I don't just hire leaders because you've been around, you've been the longest inspector. I think that's why we had one guy leave us. He wasn't He was below average on number of inspections per year compared to our inspectors. The average was 475. He was like at 450. He loved his vacation time, loved his personal time, never wanted to do necessarily more than he had to. Those people aren't going to get promoted. You know, I'm looking for leadership roles. You better be doing above the average inspection fee. You better be, when you have inspection cancels, hey, who needs my help? How can I help out?
Yeah.
Those are the people that I want leading. And so, you know, I thought I'd have two team leads by now. I don't. I have one because he's the only one that stood up. I've had some, you know, getting guys licensed issues with some of our partners. Those things, those are the pain in the ass things. You know, like I said, the growth stuff's easy. It's just what comes with the territory of growth. You know, you may fire somebody and they might get mad and do something or
right.
You know, those are what I'm more of like the pain in the butt things of growth. Initially growing, when we first started growing, you know, our radon process wasn't that good. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to let radon sit for 48 hours. We didn't have a good plan on how to pick up and drop radons. So now we have two radon techs. So scheduling radons was a nightmare. You know, we would leave radons at offices and, or not offices, but houses and not pick them up. And, you know, where's our radon report? Oh my God, we never picked it up.
Right. So
those things were challenging in the beginning. Like mm-hmm. even when we were like at 3, 4, 5, 6 inspectors, growing like that really made us like clean up those things. Hiring full-time transaction coordinators that could answer the phone and try to answer all the phones, implementing a backup call center so we didn't really miss phone calls, having a good software to schedule inspections. We were doing it off Google for the longest time.
Right.
Horrible. You know, it's absolutely horrible. You need to be using an ISN, a Spectora. You know, I think those are so key. And yeah, it seems expensive. There's a cost to it, of course. But it saves you. You know, I'm able to keep track of revenue of all this stuff now. Before I couldn't. And I really only have record of revenue from 2015 on.
Yeah.
And that's sad. Like I should say, your business 17 years, you should have pretty documented
yeah.
of what your number of inspections are and what they're not. And we don't. And I think all those little things implemented help. And inspection conferences are great. To go get around and you get to see the softwares, you get to see the technology out there. You know, I think there's some other things that's just like you could spend your money foolishly if you go to some of these conferences on stupid right. too. So you need to make sure you're prioritizing on the right things. You know, if you're looking to grow, one, you need a good scheduling software. Spectora, ISN, those are really the only two I know. You need a good reporting. You know, how do you write reports? Make it easier for you. Like we talked about duplicatable. Who's doing your scheduling? Are you missing phone calls on your schedule? Are you missing phone calls? You know, if you are, maybe you need a backup call center
yeah.
to start off. What are the ones? Perception. We use Perceptionist.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great. They're not going to be perfect. It's backup, right? So we can't control, but they're going to do what they're paid to do.
Catch the call. Yeah.
Catch the call, you know, not miss that phone call. So those are the things that I would implement, you know, that were challenging in the beginning, mm-hmm. for you to get up on feet. But like I said, now it's the challenges always are different.
Yeah.
And next year's challenges are going to be different. You know, we're going to start this school and everything. And I'm sure that's going to come with its own challenges and all that stuff.
Yep.
Those things, You're by growing, you're going to expose yourself to your weaknesses, and then you're going to have to change and make them better, make them smoother. How you avoid, I think, making those big mistakes you're still going to make mistakes, but to make less of them, you need to get around people that are growing, and you need to ask them, what do you do for this? What do you do for scheduling? What do you do for radon? Who's your backup call center? You know, how do you pay your people? All those things are going to is key. So if I was growing again and I hadn't known what I know now, I would copy somebody that's doing what I want to do. You know, the bigger inspection companies and listen to them and hopefully they can teach me. And you know, one guy might not want to teach you where the other guy might want to. So keep keep figuring out. And if you can't, get around inspection conferences and meet people. I don't go to inspection conferences necessarily to like sit in the classes. I go to like what, and you know this, I was walking around just talking to people.
Yep.
Getting to know people in the industry, because those that network is going to be where that's the valuable part. It's not buying something there or, yeah. You know, in the class, some of the classes are really great too, but not all of them. I don't need to sit in a drone class for an hour.
Right.
You know, I can YouTube that.
Yeah.
You know, so, I'm not even trying to be funny. Like, but if there was a Chad Hett that's going a class, okay, I'm probably going to sit in on that.
Right.
Because he's probably one of the biggest multi-inspector firms in the country.
Right.
There's value in that for me.
Yep.
But I don't care about like, oh, well, thermoimaging class. No, that for where we are and the growth that I want, again, I'm working on my business, not in my business. And thermoimaging is in, drones are in, and those aren't going to make me more successful as a company owner, as a business owner.
Yeah.
So that's what I would do. I mean, bluntly, like, so.
And you mentioned like conferences, mastermind groups, you know, there's the micros and the IEBs. I know there's great value in those. Some guys have propelled them to the next level. I know you may have done one or two of those.
I was in MIC for like, I think like about less than a year. I went to like a couple, I think one or two of the meetings.
So find value in those, right? Try it out. I think like, that's what I tell people is that just because it doesn't work or works for someone doesn't mean it won't for you. So talk to people. But those relationships, I think one-to-one are big.
And I think if somebody's telling you that they didn't get any anything out of a millionaire, like mastermind inspector community or the other things, they weren't active in it because there's just the network of the people in there, you're going to get something out of it.
Exactly.
So yeah, you might not think the cost is appropriate or anything like that for the what you're getting, but you're still going to learn stuff. And if you're not learning something, it just tells me, I don't know. You didn't meet people. You're standoffish. I don't know. But I think there's value in those groups. Again, there's a cost associated with them. Right. And there's free information out there. So it's up to you. But I think if you're starting out, some of those groups definitely are beneficial for sure. Yeah.
And my vantage point of talking to, you know, hundreds of inspectors a month, I think the 2-3-4 man shops, some of them just need to, you know, drop the ego and go connect with a Troy Thompson, with a Joey Donofrio, a Gary Sloan, these bigger shops that are doing good things. Cause if you just drop that wall and that ego, you guys will connect and share ideas for years to come and just continue to help grow. So we won't beat that down. I think just connecting with people and not being too proud to ask questions and be a beginner again.
Well, and the thing about like, you mentioned like Troy Thompson, all these bigger shops, they were like people of action, right? So there was, I remember sitting, I was in Troy's class, or am I with MIC with him for like a short little stint in Jerry Linkhorn. They did it. They learned and they implemented. They didn't make excuses. They didn't say, oh, well, I live in Ohio or I live in Utah. Like, I don't know how Troy Thompson has the biggest inspection company as he does when living in Utah.
Right.
I just didn't know Utah like had business like that.
Right.
So I look at somebody like a Troy Thompson, who's a great guy, and I say, oh, my God, if he can do that in flipping Utah, like, I should be able to do that in Northern Virginia. So
right. Can happen
always,
anywhere.
There's always, again, there's always excuses of why you're unable to do something and then reasons why you should, whether that's your kids, your wife. You know, I can't come up with reasons for you, but you know, there are plenty of excuses for me not to do something, and then there are plenty of reasons for me. So choose to look at the reasons of why you need to do something rather than the excuse of not.
Sure.
Because you can always find an excuse, but there are plenty of reasons why you should. One, if it's a goal of yours to grow, you should grow. You know, well, I'm nervous because this guy won't be able to do it as good as me. You won't know until you do it. So take the action. Try it. If one hire doesn't work out, talk to somebody who's hired successful and see what they do during the interview process, right? How are you hiring? You should never have to convince somebody to come work for you. They should be convincing you why they need to come work for you.
Exactly.
And I've always had that like standpoint. I'm not going to be like, oh, well, I'll pay you this. I'll do this. Oh, it'll be so great. No one wants to be, you know, no one wants to be convinced, you know, they want to challenge. Tell me what's good. Like, tell me, Tell me why are you here? Why do you want to come work for me?
Yeah. And you mentioned a great interview question earlier, just stepping through a situation and like, what is your thought process, you know, deep, like really elaborate on it. And that doesn't happen enough, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
So yeah, in switching gears here, in like a 2, 3, 4, 5 person inspection firm, you mentioned the structure of your company and the different job roles. So what do you think a 3 to 5 or 6 man shop should it? I see a lot of them. It's 5 or 6 inspectors and maybe an admin, you know, maybe a spouse that serves as an admin. What do you think those key roles should be at that stage?
Well, I think, you know, I've talked to some bigger firms and it amazes me some of the conversations I have, like, it's hard for me to like keep employees you have to create a culture for your company and you have to, you know, I personally, all of our inspectors are W-2. Nobody's 1099. I pay them through the winter. They get a base pay because I never wanted to have an inspector times get slow and then they go get other work and then they go do stuff. They don't tell me how many inspections they're going to do. I tell them how many inspections they're going to do a week, the minimum that they're going to do. Now, if they want to do more than that, cool. As long as they're not making mistakes and all that stuff. And what I found is, again, multi-inspector firms, the cultures are different, right? So where some people are 1099, some people get to choose their schedule. I think those guys, they struggle with keeping people. You know, where we really don't have a high turnover rate and we keep a lot of our people. Like you don't grow to 12 or 13 or 14, 15 guys without that.
Yeah.
So what culture do you want? Treat your people well, you know, listen to their feedback, make them have ownership and pride in what they're doing and ownership in the direction of their company. You know, I always tell people, you know, I don't mind feedback. I mind being if you're critical, you know, because critical is just you being a douchebag.
Right.
Feedback, it could be something that's not going good. I want to hear everything. If something's not going good, I want to hear it. Try to do it respectfully if you can, you know, because that's how we grow. It's amazing sitting in a meeting now with 14, 15, 16 guys, and we open it up for ideas or suggestions. One, hopefully they feel comfortable providing it. So when somebody gives feedback, don't like shun them in front of the group, right? Take it, you know, you don't have to, you know, and listen to it and say, hey, you know what? That's a great idea. We'll get back to you. You don't have to give them an answer right then and there if you need time to think about it. But it's amazing. I mean, it's amazing the feedback that we get. The other day, this guy mentioned on my team, he said, you know, it would be really nice if we had like a company gym membership somewhere that has multiple locations. So if we have time in between our inspections,
go knock out a workout.
Go shower. Yeah. We could get a quick workout in. You know, if we had a dirty crawl space and we have time, we can hop in a shower and we don't have to drive all the way home to do it. I'm like, great. That is awesome. I love that idea. And that's quality of life for them. And so starting January 1, we have a gym membership for our employees who want it. They have to let us know they want it.
So cool.
Company will pay for it, all that stuff. Cause I'm like, that's a great idea. So, you know, having them give feedback and then saying, hey, we followed through on that based on your suggestion. It makes people feel empowered. Like, hey, they have a voice where they work, you know? And I think a lot of companies, they don't have that. You know, my way is not the best way. I know that, you know, and I'm going to make mistakes, but at least people can have buy-in. If we make a decision like we're changing our inspection schedule a little bit around, and we had the idea about it, or our leadership had the idea about it, but we just didn't implement that. We went to our inspectors and said, hey, we're thinking about doing this. What are your thoughts? We want everyone's feedback on how they would see the schedule working out for the best of everyone, so we can support that quality work-life balance within Donofrio. And I had in my head like our ideas of what we wanted to do and how we wanted to do it, but now they have buy-in on that.
Yeah.
So now when we make the decision, hey, we opened up the floor to everybody. You know, if you want to keep your schedule the way it is and you say, hey, you know, I like my schedule the way it is, I don't want to change, then fine, let us know that. But for those who want to change, maybe this new way of doing it will be a lot better and your quality of life will improve. So you give people buy-in. I, I don't like I said, in the power of being transparent now, I want to make sure that I'm very transparent in decisions that we're making, very open about those things. So guys aren't caught off guard or like, why are they doing that?
Yeah.
Are they trying to screw us? Like, no, that's not it at all. And so those are the things that we're kind of doing and facing and all that stuff.
Such valuable information. And just the mind, again, I can't hammer this home enough of asking questions and listening to people and treating your employees well. It's something we do here. It's something you clearly do. It just doesn't come natural to half of our industry. And that's why I'm glad we're having this conversation, to create awareness of it, of like, they may not even know they're not listening to their employees.
Yeah. And I'm younger. So like people, when I'm at the conferences and people are like, how many inspectors you guys have? I'm like 12. They're like, what? No way. I've never heard of you. You know, so I never went into a corporate structure where the boss and all this stuff and leadership has changed. Like, you know, when my parents and my grandparents went, like, there was the boss. Like, I hate that term.
Yeah.
I'm not a boss. I'm a leader who's hopefully showing some servant leadership, and I want to help other people rise up to the leadership rank. I don't want to be sitting alone at the top. I want more people up top with me. And the only way to do that is to grow. And I make that very clear to our people. Like, hey, if you want to be a team leader, you see yourself growing, or you want to make more money and you want to do, then you have to buy into the mission statement of Donna Frio, and you have to help us get there. I'm not going to get us there. We are going to get us there. Like, and if you don't want to do that, then the door's over there. Like, I'm not here. I'm not forcing you to stay. You know, if you don't want to like be a normal human being, then the door's over there. So, you know, don't hold on to anybody that's taken away from your mission statement. You can try to train them. I always take responsibility. If somebody's not doing what they're supposed to be doing, I apologize to them. I say, I'm so sorry. I've let you down. They're like, wait, what? I'm like, I didn't explain the importance of yada, yada, yada. And I take so full responsibility, because apparently there was a miscommunication and it's all my fault. And then they're like, oh my God, no, Joe. Oh no, I'm so sorry. You know, it's so true, right? But then the next time it happens, it's their fault.
Like, you're right. Exactly. That's the beauty of accountability.
Yeah. And so I always look at it as a training thing first. Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe we didn't train them properly. They make a mistake, whatever happens. And then it's on them if they do it. And then if it's on them, you put them on a performance improvement plan. If that doesn't work out within the, you have to stick to your word. You got to do that.
Yeah.
I was being a baseball coach, and the guy was like, oh, the head coach was like, the seniors are going to change. Or the freshman, sophomore, once we get rid of the senior class, everything will be different. And I'm like, dude, it starts day one when you walk in. You're the leader. Not the seniors aren't the leaders. You're the leader. If the seniors don't want to change, they can kick rocks.
Yep.
Because the people are watching. The freshmen, the sophomores, your employees, they're watching what you're doing. And adults are smarter than kids.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so if you're not holding your agreements and all this stuff, you're doing your business a disservice. So you gotta stick to what people sign and what people, you know, business contracts and all that stuff.
Do you guys do like one-on-ones or how do you talk about culture? Like, say you're a four inspector firm. Do you carve out time to like speak to each inspector to talk about culture and how you guys treat customer service and kind of bleed that into them? Is that what you?
Yeah. So we have, when we hire somebody, we have a, what's it, an introduction or like a, what do they call it? When you hire somebody, it's a...
training, onboarding.
Onboarding. Or during our onboarding process, like, hey, your introduction. We go over the mission statement. We go over what we are, what we're all about, what we stand for. We have a PowerPoint that we sit down with all of them and talk to them about it. Because again, if people don't understand your mission and it's not clear to them, then they're running blind.
Right.
So we have to implement that. And we bring up the mission statement almost every meeting. So, I mean, pretty much every meeting, if it has, not every meeting, but probably every other to every every three meetings, we bring it up.
Okay.
If I feel like, hey, something's going on. And then again, if issues happen on on inspections, we're quick to send an email out and use it as training at the meeting for all their inspectors. So,
yeah,
but the mission statement needs to be constantly in their face.
What's yours?
If it's not, mission statement? I should know it by heart. but yeah, if your mission statement is not at the forefront, then I think you're misleading people. And then I can always go back if somebody's not upholding it. If somebody's not upholding it, then.
But it gives you something to refer back to always. There's a home base of like, hey, is this serving the mission statement? And that's something I actually did enjoy from my financial corporate days, is that there was a very ingrained, entrenched mission. And if all of your actions don't serve that, then that's on us as leaders to make sure you know that.
Yeah. No, exactly. So let me see if I can pull it up real quick, because it's kind of long. Yeah, here it is. Okay, so mission statement for Donofrio & Associates is become the largest, most well-known, and highly rated inspection company in the DMV area by providing consistency in our processes. Did I look what I do?
You're good.
Okay. By providing consistency in our processes, world-class customer service, and continual training, stay dedicated to growth and improvement by proactively reaching out for feedback, streamlining our processes, staying focused on serving, and maintaining the highest technical expertise.
That is meaty. That is packed. That is, yeah, so you know, and some people poo-poo on mission statements, but it's very intentional. There's a reason why Fortune 500 companies all have them, because it keeps you focused on what you're doing every day.
Yeah, no, it really does. I mean, that's our goal, and we've gotten pretty big in the last 3 years. I don't know if we're the largest home inspection company on the East Coast, but I think we're getting there. And you know, some of these guys say they have like 13 or 14 inspectors, but I don't know how many inspections that equates to.
Right. So, they could be a lot of 1099s.
Yeah. So that, I don't know what that is. I know we're doing close. We'll do 45 to 4,700 by the time the year's over. And then next year we'll do over 5,000 inspections. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah. So, you mentioned early on getting a marketing person. So for the multis that are stuck in that, almost, it's a good problem to have, being at that 3, 4, 5, because you're doing mid hundreds, close to maybe 1,000 inspections a year, that they can't get out and do office presentations. That's usually the gripe I hear is, I'm too busy, we're slammed, I can't work on my website, it sucks, I can't go to agent offices. That means they just need to hire a marketing person, right, to book those presentations or to make those visits.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So yeah, if they don't want to go to office, then they need to make, because an office presentation, I mean, some of them, if I'm doing a presentation just about our services, I'm there for 30 minutes to 40 minutes. So that can be done in between inspections. You kind of have to do it when their team meetings are. So you're kind of at the mercy of them, but you can book inspections around that. Like I said, you have to take a couple steps back to move forward. Now, if you're just like, if you're doing 300, 400, 500, 600 inspections a year, you need to hire another inspector. You need to at least start the training of that other inspector to get him licensed.
Right.
It means him following, going around, doing some coursework online. InterNACHI, we use InterNACHI. They're great with everything that they do. I just, nothing against ASHI. I think ASHI's, they're both great, but InterNACHI just works a lot better for what we do. Mm-hmm. So that's who we use with our online education. But yeah, you have to start getting somebody up and running if you're so busy. Because if you're not marketing during your busy season, then your slow season is going to be slow, right? So it's going to be even slower.
Yep.
And because we all go through a slow season, so you have to market throughout the whole year. Marketing doesn't end because you get busy. That's when you need to market. Marketing has to be just a hunt, something that you're doing like you're doing inspections every day. And whether we have social media that's free, so there's a lot of free stuff that you're able to do too, so you don't just have to spend money. But yeah, you have to be out there. It's amazing when I see the people that I see on Facebook doing these videos. I've never met some of these people, but they're in my feed all day long, that I feel like I know them.
Right.
I'm on an airplane to Denver to visit my cousin, and I saw a realtor that I've never met personally, but he's on my Facebook. I'm like, oh, I think I know that guy. Wait. He was like walking off the plane. I'm waiting for my stroller.
Wait, you came to Denver and didn't come visit our office?
I should have been. I got yelled at by InterNACHI, and then you, and I just thought about that. I was visiting my cousin. I had my kids with me too. I was like, I should have done it.
Next time.
Yeah, next time. I'll make a separate trip with no kids.
Yeah. Good call. Business trip. But what else did we miss in gaps with like multi-inspector firms? So like the guys that are in that small multi area that want to propel to the next level, what else would you put out there to them in terms of focusing on the right things, organization, hiring? I know we covered a lot already, but.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody, again, but each multi-inspector owner is different. So it's not, if I give advice, I think we touched on a lot of the good stuff, but yeah. I need to understand like, what are they struggling with? Right. What are their weaknesses? And you have to, and it, for those out there that are struggling, what are you struggling with?
Process.
What do you think your problems are? Then get somebody, myself, somebody, Troy Thompson, a Jerry Linkhorn, and talk to those people. About what they're doing that they did to overcome that success or that they overcame that weakness.
Yeah.
You know, I think we could just spin our tires about like all the stuff that the stuff that we need that they should do, but what are your weaknesses, and get on a group or get and say, hey, who are the multi-inspectors in here? When you get a response, hey, how do you overcome this issue? Boom. You know, I think those are huge. If you want to reach out to Kevin and get my email,
yeah, we'll add it there.
And I'll be more than happy to help people. I have no problem helping out somebody that wants it.
What do you think about a Spectora conference?
What?
What do you think about a Spectora conference? We should have one.
Oh, I think you definitely should have one.
Because there's just so many sharp minds in there, and I'm like, oh, I just want to get you guys in a room because you guys would just feed off each other and learn more.
Yeah.
Some headline speaker, those Buffini or Cardone types or something, and just see where it goes.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. I think the more, again, Spectora has its own network of people now and people that are using the software. And it's, again, I think Spectora is hands down, and I'm not just saying this because I'm on this podcast, I would say it on any podcast, is the best inspection software out there. It just is unbelievable how it's the positive response that I got from all my inspectors about it, how happy they are with it. It's unreal. And you guys, and what I love about you guys is it's not, again, it hasn't always been perfect, but you guys are so quick to make updates, to make adjustments, and you listen to feedback about it and are so, I mean, I think you change like overnight. Sometimes you change stuff like when we have issues or something. It's unreal. And so I just love the customer service, and it's the best software out there that's always getting better. You guys are always, again, you listen to good feedback and are implementing it, and I have no complaints.
Oh, we appreciate you. And we took a page out of your book where it's like, you know, we work with Lenny a lot and it's like, hey, we make mistakes. That's a bug. Let's fix it like now. Yeah. Like let's get on this and get it going to get you guys efficient. Cause at your scale, your process is such a big part of your revenue, right? Of every growth can come from either process improvement or top line growth.
Yeah. So again, I'm not looking for a perfect company because I'm not a perfect company, right? Yeah. But you guys do such an incredible job with customer service and adapting and all that stuff. And we really do appreciate you guys.
Well, no, we appreciate you guys. So anything that you wish I would have asked you, anything that's just, you're like, I got to get this out there on the podcast. Like the industry, we didn't talk a lot of industry trends and kind of how you've seen things change. Do you think things are going more multi? That'll be my last question for you. Do you see the consolidation, you know, the mom and pops maybe getting absorbed by the bigger guys?
I mean, I don't know if it's because there's more information or we live in like this entrepreneur era or whatever, where everyone wants to have an entrepreneur and wants to have a team and, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. But I see it. I feel like I see it a lot more in the real estate industry. I don't know if it's because we're growing too. I definitely see it in more of the home inspection industry as well. I think people are really with social media and getting out there and the conferences, I think that all helps. And I think single man shops, if you are a single man shop, you're at a disadvantage if you're not growing. I really do. I mean, and And I was telling my wife the other day, I said, if a recession happens, we're not going to be the ones affected. It's right. going to be the single man shops are going to go. They're not going to be able to have income for their families. And then what are they going to do? They're going to get a job. They're going to go to work for somebody else, corporate America, whatever. And what does that mean? Well, they're still gonna have inspections that need to get done, and we're gonna absorb those inspections.
Yeah.
I think Tony Robbins was talking about that, and I heard that. I'm like, oh my God, that's so genius. And when we bounce out of the recession and you wanna start over, we're gonna be 10 steps farther ahead of you than we were before. Like, you know, and it's just, it's an advantage to grow. Most people don't want to, and again, everybody's different. I no disrespect to the single man shop, no disrespect to the person with two or three inspectors. You know, everyone has to do what's right for them.
Yeah.
I'm just more growth minded, and I really want to keep growing and evolving and doing things and expanding and doing the Donna Frio Academy and doing all those things that are going to propel us and make the industry, really it's about making the industry better.
Yeah.
Based on weaknesses that I've seen within our company. And that's it. But I would love a conference. I would love a Spectora conference. I think that would be awesome. I think you would have a lot of great, talented people there.
Let's do it. We'll make it happen. You, Donna Frio Academy can be a sponsor. A free sponsor.
Yeah.
Oh, cool, man. I want to be respectful of your time here. Thank you so much. We're going to break this into two episodes, like I said, because this was just a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff for new guys, stuff for multis. I'll get your list of everything that kind of you're reading, because I think you read and you absorb more than most any other home inspector I come into contact with. So we got to perpetuate this mindset. Like you said, grow or you're dying. And I think that's the mindset to be successful. So I'll link to a bunch of stuff down there. Thanks again, man. I look forward to maybe getting out there sometime soon as well. You know, some of our team can make a trip out.
Definitely.
We'll do something.
Great. Good time.
All right, my man.
All right, Kevin. Take care.
Thanks, Joey.
Thank you so much.
Have a good one, man.
Dude, bye-bye.